KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Joshua Johnson. It's been 35 years since Steve Jobs co-founded Apple, 25 years since he started Pixar, and one day since the memorials began. Across the Bay Area and around the world, fans and admirers are leaving flowers, notes, and even iPhones with his picture in a growing memorial befitting a head of state. But his state, this state, was his domain. And this place, the Bay Area, was his workshop, his playground, and his world stage. What is it about our region that fed the man who taught the world to cheer for a computer? Let's talk about that with NPR's digital culture correspondent, Laura Seidel. Laura, good morning.
Good morning.
Steve Jobs, the person he was, the person he became, never really could have happened anywhere else but here, could it?
I don't think so. I mean, the thing about Steve Jobs, you have to remember, is he was an old hippie.
An old hippie, yeah.
He grew up in an era here. Look at the pictures of him and Wozniak, Steve Wozniak from the early eras. Steve Wozniak's hair is below his shoulders and they look kind of scruffy. I mean, he went off to India. He did LSD. He did all those things that at a certain moment in time, everybody in the Bay Area was doing. This was this, you know, the summer of love. He also had this, he was infused with this feeling of wanting to change the world. And there's that famous quote from which he recruited John Sculley from Coca-Cola. And he said, do you want to sell sugar water for your entire life or do you want to change the world? And I think that was very particular to the Bay Area. And we still have a lot of that feeling here in the Bay Area.
If we encountered Jobs back in the 70s, who would we have seen? Very different person than who we had been seeing lately in product unveilings and whatnot.
Yes and no. I mean, yes, he had the bow tie, I guess, at a certain point he would go to do that. But the interesting thing about him is I don't think you entirely would. He always was this incredible salesman, this incredible speaker. He had a passion that I think you found throughout his life for these products you know, I don't think that changed significantly. Plus, he never dressed up. He never became a conformist. You know, he would get on stage and he'd wear those jeans and the black T-shirt, the black turtleneck. And he kind of did it his own way.
I think perhaps the most dressed up I ever saw him was when he unveiled the first Macintosh in 1984. Here's a bit of how he described that computer, with the features that sounded pretty high tech back then.
With its radical ease of use, mouse, windows, icons, pull-down menus, point, click, cut, and paste. We've managed to find a way to pull that down to a $2,495 price point. And Macintosh, to accomplish this, uses a 68,000 microprocessor, the same 32-bit microprocessor used in Lisa. It's necessary for Lisa technology, and it eats 8088s for breakfast.
Only $2,500. Laura, do people, when they say they want to be the next Steve Jobs, when they look at what he did, when they look at his legacy in the Bay Area, do they really get what that means? What are they missing about what the Bay Area did for him that maybe it's not doing for them?
I think he was of a moment. And I think actually many of the people, you know, who were part of the early computer movement were part of that moment, in particular to Northern California. You know, this is a guy who went to venture capitalist meetings, threw his feet up on the table, was kind of smelly. And, you know, I think there's a lot of conformism now. In a way that there was not. And I think people are much more interested in making a lot of money. And yes, Steve Jobs made a lot of money, but he was not known to be particularly extravagant. He didn't own five houses. He didn't go on extravagant vacations, and you didn't hear about his private jet. And I don't think you really see that here now. I think a lot of people have come in from the outside. There's been an influx of money and people from elsewhere. So it isn't necessarily quite the same sensibility.
There's also a sensibility as it relates to design, that sense of industrial design, that smooth, whether it's today's brushed aluminum look or those multi-flavored iMacs when he first unveiled them, that's really Bay Area specific.
It is. I mean, you know, the rainbow flag, which of course is big here for lesbian and gay rights, but it's also, there's a rainbow on the early Macs, right? And I think if you look at the colors, the whole thing, it really is very Northern California, the sensibility. You know, you still see people around here wearing tie-dye. And I feel like a lot of that early design was infused with that. This is also an area where we have a lot of industrial designers. And he really took advantage of that. And if anything, it was here, and then it even grew after Apple became here.
Quick question I wanted to ask you about Pixar. He could have moved that to Hollywood, closer to Disney and Burbank, but he kept it in Emeryville. What about that? Very briefly.
I think once again it was a little bit of rebellion because he sort of, it was kind of a snub to Disney in some way that he set it up here, so he did his own thing here. He also gave the values of that company. I mean, I hear it's a great place to work. So it was one of those companies early on that had all the right perks and was just kind of wonderful and creative and, again, nonconformist.
We've been speaking with NPR correspondent Laura Seidel. Laura, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm Joshua Johnson. You can share your thoughts on the death and, most importantly, the life of Steve Jobs at our blog Newsfix, and check out more of the day's news online at kqednews.org.
Support for KQED News comes from Stanford Hospital and Clinics, specializing in orthopedics and sports medicine. StanfordHospital.org.